Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Wow, so good to be here. So glad that you're here. I've been pondering this particular section of scripture for a few days, and it's really blessed me. Everything in scripture is a blessing I've discovered over the years. I can honestly say I don't think in the 47 years that I've walked with the Lord, has there ever been a time, not once, when if I opened the Bible, even if I just did it randomly, to show people how God speaks, that God hasn't spoken something, the Holy Spirit hasn't lifted something off the page and spoken life to my heart. I don't think that's because of there's something special about me, though there is, because I'm in Christ, just like you, because that's just the way He likes to do things. I think that sometimes people lower their expectation level, and so it somehow grieves the Spirit. It prevents the Spirit from doing some of the things that He wants to do. But early on, when I first started walking with the Lord, I heard somebody say that He promised He would lead us into all truth, so every time you open the Bible, you should thank Him that He's going to do that. And He always has. So I would just encourage you to give that a shot. Pray that little prayer. But there's something here about the love of God, a couple of simple things that's just extraordinary to me. One's in verse 22, because 22 is almost like a transitional verse, but there's no just verse in the scripture. Every single word is pregnant with eternal purpose and eternal intent. And so they've been in Jerusalem. They've been at the Passover feast. All the story has been there in chapter 3 until you get to verse 22. And it says, and after these things, or it could be also written, in the midst of these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. Now, Judea is the wilderness, and it's between Jerusalem, if you've ever been to Israel, it's between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. So if you do by vehicle, if you ever go to Jerusalem, Israel, you go to Jerusalem and you travel to go see the Dead Sea, you have to travel through this vast wilderness to get there. You kind of go down and it's kind of hilly, and that's Judea. And so Jesus says he and his disciples went into Judea, and this is what I love. And there he was spending time with them and they were baptizing. What people usually will focus on, the fact is that they were baptizing. You know, it says in chapter 4, verse 1, that even though Jesus' disciples were baptizing, he didn't baptize anybody. So I'm not sure even what that means. You know, that later, the verses that Father Aaron read, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, is that there was this discussion, a Jew, probably a Pharisee, began to discuss with some of John's disciples in light of the fact that John the Baptist was baptizing, not too far from where Jesus was. And they were discussing the issue of purification because baptisms happened all the time among the Jews. There were those who were discovering, we found written records of the fact that those who during this time were digging up, finding some of the archaeological findings of the Torah, the part of the Old Testament. And every day before they would read, they'd go baptize in a pool, purify themselves. And Jews often would just baptize themselves or be baptized for some form of purification before they would do something holy and spiritual. That's why there were pools of water all around Jerusalem, because often when pilgrims would come, they'd go through fresh baptism before they would go to the temple, make an offering. And so there's this discussion about purification. And obviously this Jew, the Pharisee, was telling them about the fact that Jesus, this newcomer, was now baptizing people, or his disciples were, and more were coming to him than they were to John. But because of the fact that it said that Jesus wasn't baptizing, I'm not even sure that that was an important issue to Jesus. I think the disciples thought it was a big deal. So they're baptizing, but what it says in the scripture is that Jesus went with them into Judea to spend time with them. Doing the work wasn't what was important to him. Spending time with them was what was important to them, to Jesus. Now, here's why this is so significant to me. Because remember that even though Jesus lived the life he lived as the Son of Man, he didn't act out of his deity. And he came to reveal the truth about God For it says, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. And the word reveal is that he revealed him exactly, specifically. So Jesus told the truth about God, but he also told the truth about man. I've said this several times recently. Because he told the truth about man because the truth about man is that we were created to tell the truth about God. We were created to carry his image and reveal his likeness. And so Jesus, in revealing the truth about God, so remember, whatever he did as man, he was revealing the truth about who God really is. And it says that Jesus and his disciples went into the wilderness of Judea, and Jesus was spending time with them. So what Jesus is saying in this scripture is so important is that God loves to spend time with us. He created us to spend time with us. He created us for fellowship with him. Now, in fellowshipping with him, the fellowship he created us to experience is one of oneness, like a husband-wife, but even more one. We use the word union often in scripture to describe it. He created us to actually bear his image, to be in union with him so that we carried his image and revealed his likeness. But it was all about fellowship, but fellowship at the deepest level. When two can commingle, that's the deepest level of fellowship. And so he created us to fellowship with him. And in the process of fellowshipping with him, because we were commingled with him, obviously, we got to experience everything that he is, everything that he had. But the big issue was relationship. He created us for fellowship. There's a place in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit just reminded of this. We'll know if it was the Holy Spirit, if it's right. It's kind of like a word of knowledge. They're actually guesses of knowledge unless you get it right. Then it's a word of knowledge. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were called into fellowship. And so the bottom line being is that Jesus was saying, by being with him, he went there just to spend time with him, is that God loves to spend time with us. Now, that's not a word. See, when we hear that often, because of the legalism that gets in us, performance gets in us, one of the first things we hear is, oh, my gosh, I need to spend more time in prayer. Well, of course, that's true. I mean, that's true in that we do spend time with him that way. But it doesn't say they were praying. They were just being together. And so because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, he fellowships with me in everything that I do. When I first started walking with the Lord, I thought that you only got to know God's presence and true fellowship when you're doing spiritual things like baptizing or preaching or witnessing or going to church or doing that kind of stuff, worshiping. But the truth is that he fellowships with us in everything that we do. Everything that we do is sacred to him. He participates in it all. When my kids were little and I played ball with them, he was there fellowshipping with me. We did that together. I was driving yesterday to Montgomery, and I just had this thought that I just heard the Lord say, don't we enjoy driving together? I thought, yes, we do. You know, and just recently again, I used to play golf a little, and then because of Olivia's sickness and stuff, it became difficult to do. But I began to play again. Now, I guess what you could call what I do playing golf. I go out there and walk around and look for balls in the woods and stuff like that. And so it's almost like hunting. But I always know his presence, and we just have communion together, always. Because everything I do is sacred to him, because I'm sacred to him. And he loves to fellowship with me. He loves to spend time with me. But what goes with that in this little section of scripture is this. But that should be encouraging to you, because sometimes we feel like we just don't deserve him wanting to spend time with us. That when we blow it, he doesn't want to spend time with us. But in a real sense, that's even more important time with him, to him, this fellowship with you, because he wants to restore you. Because he didn't come to condemn us. He came to rescue us, to save us. But when John's just talking, we'll again look at this more tomorrow, but he says in verse 28, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. Then he makes a statement. This is a verse that even when I first started walking the Lord, I remember it meant so much to me. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, Jesus. But the friend of the bridegroom, John speaking of himself, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. So put these two things together is that this God of love loves us so much. He created us to spend time with us. And he wired us so we can hear his voice. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that we live by the words that proceed out of his mouth. You know that he references himself in John chapter 1 as the word. Why? Because God likes to talk to us. In Revelation 1, he's referred to as the voice. He refers to himself as the door, which means that there's always access. It's not just we have access to him, he's always accessing us. And then Jesus refers to himself as the way. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to show you the way? He said, I am the way. Fellowshipping with me, walking in fellowship with me, and hearing my voice, that's the way of life. And when that's happening, John said, and his joy is made full. That's true about us. You know, it says in, remember in Luke chapter 24, when the two were walking on the Emmaus Road after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and they were kind of confused because they had heard some reports about the resurrection from a couple of the ladies, but they were all doubting. And they're walking along. Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're depressed. And then Jesus comes along beside them. But it says their eyes were preventing themselves, what it literally says, from noticing who he was. They couldn't see him for who he was because they had, believing the narrative of the enemy, that they had been hoping for the redemption of Israel and it wasn't working out real well. And then Jesus began to speak to them in Scripture. And then their eyes were open as they communed around broken bread. And then they saw him and realized who he was. He disappeared and they said, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us along the road? Now, I love Ezekiel chapter 1. I'll just read this one. This is Ezekiel 1. And this is all about Jesus. It's about the Son of Man. So I won't read all the scriptures before. I'll just read verse 28. And the appearance of the rainbow and the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance of this Son of Man. Such was the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. And then he said to me, Son of Man, stand on your feet, that I may speak with you. And look, he said, now stand on your feet, that I may speak with you. But he says, but as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. Sometimes we do fall, don't we? Sometimes we fall in our heart. Sometimes we get discouraged. And yet every time we become conscious again, open our eyes, his presence, because he's always fellowshipping with us, even in the darkest places, hardest places. And we can hear his voice again. It like sets us on our feet, doesn't it? Because it fills us with fullness of joy. I think about, because he listens to these every day, my dear friend Craig Stahl, my little brother in the Lord. He's going to get better. He's going to get well. I've had a great sense of certainty about that this morning. But I know that for Craig, Craig's like the word machine. He knows more scripture than anybody I know. But I would imagine how hard it is for him right now. It's hard to read because if he reads, it makes him get dizzy and feels really bad. But there's so much word God's put in him. God prepared him for this, walk through this. But I know that what makes things good for Craig, because Craig never complains. His 19-year-old daughter told me that she's never heard him complain once. And even more than Olivia, I've never known anybody who suffered so unimaginably as Craig does. And Olivia suffered a lot physically. But I know Craig enough to know that what's sustaining him is God's presence, that Jesus is spending time with him in this wilderness, his Judea. See, when you're in your Judea, that's when you can know his presence even more. Just pay attention, because he took them there to spend time with them, not for them to be busy, but to spend time with them. But I know what's keeping Craig on his feet on the inside is that the presence. He knows that Jesus is enjoying spending time with him. He's enjoying the joy of how much Jesus rejoices in him, and Craig's hearing his voice. Probably from, I think, at an even higher level than he ever has before. And so the presence, the one who loves to spend time with us, his presence is fullness of joy. And then his voice was John's fullness of joy. He said, the sound of his voice made his joy complete. I know for Craig, that's the thing that's causing him not just to fade into depression, discouragement, but to stay alive on the inside. But see, that's true for all of us. That's what this says to me in the scripture, that God loves us so much that he's the God who loves to spend time with us all the time, fellowship with us, and loves for us to hear his voice. I would say more than anything else that's been life-altering for me in this recent journey in my life is the voice. Just hearing his voice so clearly, speaking into everything has been so transformative. And it's given me chances to repent and again, because every time you repent, you're trading up. Amen? And so I just think that's a great section of scripture. So tender-hearted, our Lord is so sweet that he's a God who loves to spend time with you, and he loves to speak to your heart. You were created to live by the words that come out of his mouth. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.